And episode number 24 of the Pinstripe Plains podcast is brought to you by the now sponsorless tarp that dumped all of that water onto left field Monday night.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
I was in the ballpark for that, by the way. Not the actual dumping of the water onto the field from the tarp, but the rain delay and eventual postponement of the game. We'll get into that story in just a second. An abbreviated episode, but an episode nonetheless, episode 24 here of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I have lost count, by the way, of what episode this is inside season two. I gave a wrong figure last week, but all good. We have been very diligent on doing these weekly, and we will continue that this week, even though I'm going to be honest, we almost took this week off completely. The reason why, I'll break some news here. I haven't announced it publicly and probably won't for a little bit, but I am no longer at my full-time job as of last week. So I was at a live TV startup. And if you've ever worked at a startup, you know, things can be a little volatile. You iterate, you change. And we had a number of those changes in the 5 months I was there full-time. But eventually it just was no longer a fit. And there are no hard feelings. Everything's great. And away we go. As far as, you know, what's next? I was going to just take this week off from everything, including the podcast, to kind of figure that out. And a week off, really, it was kind of a week off, but not really. I'll probably take a few more days next week and then start figuring out what the next move will be. Probably something in the on-camera or TV sphere, we hope. But I have some other things going on in the process, including a radio gig that actually started last weekend, but I haven't made that official or public yet either. So stuff in the works. Everything's fine with me. Like I said, we were going to just take this week off completely. We were working on a potential pretty big guests, or I should say, yeah, guests plural for this week, and it kind of fell through. That said, I believe we'll have our buddy Jack Curry from the Yes Network on a future episode sooner rather than later. Of course, this past week, the David Combe book written with Jack Curry came out. So I'm sure if you haven't already, you can go pick that up. I plan to hopefully grab an e-copy of that or the audiobook, which I hear is read by Coney. I'm sure that's pretty good too. Maybe get through that this weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to Jack next week. So we're going to take this week off, and then I'm like, you know what? I do like releasing these weekly. And also we do have a few things to talk about here briefly as we head into the weekend. The Yankees getting ready for another big series. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Yankees and the Rays played meaningful, like really meaningful games for the AL East against each other this early in the year. Yet again, the Rays are in town now, and the battle for first place in the AL East will continue. Yankees ended up, they won all three games, right? Against the Orioles that they played. They had the double. Oh, no, they only played two of the four scheduled, right? The doubleheader, one postponed till August. That will be a split admission doubleheader. And then, of course, the doubleheader on Wednesday that they took both games, which last year, so many Yankee games rained out this, that, and the third. It was nice to see them take care of business on both ends of that doubleheader yesterday. Tonight in the stadium, by the way, is the CC Sabathia charity softball classic game, which I did think about going to cover as well. But, you know, it's tough to cover those when you're a podcast, because if you're doing like a red carpet or media junket type thing, you're only getting 90 seconds on average, you know, with a good athlete or public figure who maybe isn't in as much demand there. Maybe you can get a couple minutes out of them. But for the podcast, you know, we want to do, you know, that's why I, you know, when I was messaging with Jack the other day about maybe going to the signing here in the city to talk to him and Coney, you know, I said, look, you know, I could do a 5 minute interview with you guys, but I'd rather have Jack, you on the phone for 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to, you know, schlepping over to the Barnes and Noble on Fifth Avenue and getting a quick five with you and Coney. So when you're doing the podcast, I guess you got to keep those things in mind. Nonetheless, the CC charity softball event is tonight, Thursday night, and then Yankees three games at home against the Rays, and then they're off to Baltimore, back to Camden. And I think now with my new freedom in the schedule. I think I will actually be going to at least maybe one of the games next week. So we're still trying to work that out. As I mentioned earlier, though, I was at Monday's eventual rainout. So after it happened, and again, with me having a little bit more free time, I figured, why not? I'll head up to the Bronx myself. I'll be able to do, you know, it's weird when you go to a game. When I've gone to games this year, I want to be on the Pinstripe Lanes Twitter and Instagram account posting nonstop, but you're with people. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, I guess in that sense, I'm not a true millennial or the generation that's after us where I can just sit on my phone the entire time and post and like and the whole thing. I feel a little weird doing that when I'm in the company of other people. But I figured, all right, I'll go up there. I got a really great deal. SeatGeek, as opposed to StubHub, does not have ticket floors. And so I was watching these tickets just drop. I mean, I saw legend seats for $130 before fees on SeatGeek for Monday night's game that eventually got rained out. I ended up getting a field level ticket just outside of the field MVP seats, about 15 rows off the field, with a $20 promo code out the door. I paid $5.93. The ticket even had Audi Club and Pepsi Lounge access. So I get the ticket about an hour before the 6:35 first pitch, hop on the 4 train, head up to the Boogie Down, post up at stands for a couple pregame pops, and then I move over to what I think will be a new go-to spot for me on River Avenue. It's right next to Billy's. It's called Yankee Twin Bar. There's a small bar with a grill on top on the street level. And by the way, it's called Yankee Twin Bar because there's two bars, but also because a pair of twin brothers own the bar, or a set of twin brothers, rather. So, small grill and bar on the street level, and you really don't think much of it, very unassuming. However, they have $5 beers, and the minimum for credit cards is only $5. So you can buy a beer with a credit card, and away you go like that, and you know, hang out on River Avenue and have your beer, or you can go downstairs. They also have a grill, hot dogs, hamburgers, Impossible Burgers as well, if you're a fellow vegan like myself, or you try to eat vegan sometimes like I do. It just seemed like a kind of cool place, and the $5 beers brought me back to the namesake for this podcast. Of course, Ballpark Lanes, which if you've seen that building now, they're putting some crazy high rise there on River Ave. Don't even get me started. But me and, you know, all my boys from back home in Western New York, we always went to Ballpark Lanes in part because of the $5 beers, because that was, you know, one of the cheaper options on River Ave. So went there, had another pregame pop. I popped into the shirt store next door to Yankee Twin Bar. Had some great deals. I got to get back there. Some of their clearance stuff actually was really, really good. But nonetheless, there was a 7:45 announced approximate first pitch, and I was pushing up against that. So got into the stadium. Didn't even go to my seat. I went and grabbed some food in the food court, and then I went up to the ate that and went up to the Audi Lounge. Saw our friend Faith, the bartender there. She's not really our friend, but she's been there forever. So she's like one of those people where it's like if you go somewhere enough, like you don't really know them, but you recognize them. Anyways, went there, had a beer there, and then you know, saw the grounds crew out there with the leaf blowers or the Ghostbusters packs. I don't know what the heck they were wearing, trying to blow that water out of left field that allegedly was dumped onto the field when they took the tarp off from the field. That's why I guess they announced a first pitch, and then upon further review said, maybe it's not such a good idea to play this game. You know, me, I was dumbfounded by the fact that with all the rain, even if they had played, Hicks was going to start in center field. I did not know what Boone was thinking there. I don't think he was thinking, but it was a moot point anyways, because we watch on first of all, we see from the outfield, we're in the Audi Club. Like, I never even made it to my seat. We're in the Audi Club. We see the bullpens empty and the players and coaches start walking back to the dugout. And we're like, oh, that's not a good sign. Then we look up onto the TV screens in the Audi Club and we see the Yes Network, and the clubhouse attendants are now putting away the batting helmets in the dugouts. And we're like, oh, that's not a good sign. And then finally, you know, I'm still on the Yankee PR email list, and I get the PR release well before the announcement in the stadium that the game is postponed. So I'm actually walking out of the stadium, tagging people as I go along, saying, hey, game's over. Time to go. So that's how that went on Monday night. If you're wondering what happened with my ticket, this is interesting. So SeatGeek refunds me the $5.93, refunds me the promo code. They put it back on my account so I could use it again if I want. $20 off, no minimum purchase. The code, by the way, I got it from the radio station WFAN. It's just WFAN. I don't know if it's still active or not, but it was in my account and they're going to still let me use it. So yeah, I should get my own code, obviously, and they should be a sponsor of this podcast, but that's another story for another time. Anyways, but also, according to the ticket policy, if I'm reading this correctly, you could exchange that ticket from Monday's game for any future 2019 Yankee game. I'm sure those are the restrictions on the just for non-premium games, but at face value or lower. Now, granted, I only paid out the door $5.93 for the ticket, but I believe the face value of that ticket's about $100 because it's a field level ticket that is, you know, just past the infield seats, only 15 rows off the field. So the way SeatGeek works, because they don't have access to the API that the Yankees use for their e-tickets. The only apps that have access to that are Ticketmaster and StubHub. So SeatGeek, what they do is when a transaction is completed, they notify the seller, and it's the seller's responsibility to transfer their ticket that you bought through the Ticketmaster app to you. So you need a SeatGeek account, but you also do need a Ticketmaster account as well. As far as I know, once that ticket is transferred, it's my ticket. So I think I got the ticket for free. I got the promo code back, and I think I got a free ticket for a future game. I am going to eventually get to the box office, maybe this weekend, to sort that out. I will let you know what, if anything, happens with that. Other news and notes as far as the, of course, Mother's Day was last weekend. And again, we've talked about it before with a number of different guests in the podcast. What the Yankees did with their uniforms, they should do with the hats as well. Just the subtle pink ribbon. It's noticeable. And I love the pink accents. I love the baseball bats and the undershirts and the stance socks, the cleats. All of that stuff I think is great. The pink, you know, they should have pink hoodies, I think, as well. Do all that, sell all that merch and give it to Coleman. But just as far as the uniform, especially, you know, with when the Yankees are involved, because it's such an iconic uniform, I just think they can do even more good by leaving the uniform intact, but adding that subtle nod to the cause. Well, again, whether it's breast cancer or, you know, the upcoming Memorial Day uniforms, or for Father's Day, obviously, they raise awareness for prostate cancer, so on and so forth. There's a lot of different causes that MLB gets involved in, which is great. But sometimes I feel like some of the MLB merchandise partners use those causes simply to move more merchandise and as opposed to raise awareness for said causes. But again, the hats weren't awful this year compared to last year. I really didn't mind them too much. We'll get to see the Yankees in a different outfit come Memorial Day as well. And all of that, at least the hats for Memorial Day and the stance socks are already up on Fanatics. And finally, before we wrap up, two things in closing. First of all, last weekend, Tropicana Field, you got to see on TV as the power went out why Tropicana Field, and we talked about this last season on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, is the only ballpark in MLB I will specifically tell you not to go to watch the Yankees. If you happen to be in town, or you have to be in town anyways, all right, maybe that's one thing. But if you're going out of your way to go to Tropicana Field to go to a Yankees game, and let's face it, based on where the ballpark is located, most of the time you have to go out of your way anyways, because the ballpark's not even in Tampa, of course. It's in St. Petersburg. Got to drive over that dopey bridge. Not worth it at all. Just an absolute embarrassment. MLB should be embarrassed. And the fact of the matter is that team will move before they build that ballpark, a brand new one, where they should, which is somewhere in Tampa. Put it by Ybor, for crying out loud. On a happier note, something else that happened last weekend, an annual event here in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium, the Damon Runyon 5K for Cancer Research. It's a 5K that is run through Yankee Stadium. You get to do two laps on the field. Then you have to go up and down from the field level to the terrace grandstand level twice. That's not a whole lot of fun, but nonetheless, a great time. Congratulations to the folks at Damon Runyon for putting out another fantastic event and raising a ton of money and awareness for cancer research. A big thank you to Eric Lipkind and his family I joined their team, and they were kind of, we had the same heat. They started ahead of me, but I really ran the 5K. I did a pretty good job. I mean, especially considering the steps and the fact that I slow down on the field so I can snap selfies and videos and everything else and pretend I'm Aaron Judge over in right field. Thankfully, no oblique injury. But you know, I ran it in under a half hour, so I'm always happy with that. If I can run it in under a half hour, have a great time, be injury free, away you go. We did, by the way, and yes, this is after multiple episodes where I kind of mothered the restaurant, but yes, we did stop at Hard Rock afterwards. We didn't really have too many options. Dugout was closed. We weren't going to pop at a Taco Bell. There were kids, so I don't think stands is even an option. So we popped into Hard Rock, and it was good for the whole family. And, you know, I had a couple beers. They actually have a buffalo cauliflower on the Hard Rock menu that is not too bad. Also an abbreviated menu now. They kind of stick to just the staples that you would expect to find inside a Hard Rock. As far as your sandwiches, your steaks, not a whole lot outside of that. Some appetizers, of course. But service was good. Food was good. No complaints. Thanks to Eric and his family again. That was a fun time last weekend up in the Bronx for the Runyon 5K. All right, that is a wrap on episode number 24 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get podcasts. And by the way, another reason why we flew solo this week, we've been on a great run with guests. A couple weeks ago, of course, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. 2 weeks ago, Rick Cerrone, former Yankee PR director. And then how about just today, I see on Twitter, our buddy Rick Cerrone stopping into Foley's in Midtown, my favorite bar to watch a baseball game, to watch a Yankees game. And of course, the owner of that bar, Foley's, Mr. Sean Clancy, was last week's guest. All stuff you can check out, all episodes you can check out wherever you got this podcast, this episode right here. I'm Ralph Yaversa. This is the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Let's go, Yankees.